morning, sir. Before we get started officially, what is your name, sir?
Morales.
Okay, Mr. Morales, just hold on one moment. I believe that the Honorable Mr. Louis Kiwanis is going to conduct your hearing at this time, sir.
Thank you. Sir, can you hear me clearly? I wish a little bit more, but we're right on right now. Okay, go ahead. Just one second. Can you say your name and ADC number for the record?
Yes, Rick Morales, 088667.
Thank you, sir. Good morning.
Good morning.
You are appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding your community supervision. You should have been given a form notifying you of this hearing. That form listed your hearing rights. One of those rights is that you can hire at your expense a lawyer to represent you. See no attorney with you while you're representing yourself today, sir.
Yes, sir.
I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing. If you can see on your teleconference screen, to my far right, working toward me, is the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. At the center of the bench, we have our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright. My name is Louis Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel lead for this hearing. Also present in the room is our Community Corrections Hearings Officer, Mr. Turner, and he'll be representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer.
Thank you.
Before we get started, I need to swear you in. So, Mr. Morales and Mr. Turner, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or so you affirm?
Here. I do.
Mr. Morales, this hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one will be to determine if you violated the conditions of community supervision, or phase two, deciding if your supervision should be continued or revoked. You received a probable cause hearing in front of the hearing officer on March 12, 2019. At that hearing, the probable cause officer found that you violated a condition, or due to your admission, you violated a condition of your release and have lapsed or probably about to lapse in the criminal race or company. Based on the findings of that probable cause officer and the Department of Corrections information contained in the warrant, I move to find Mr. Morales delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of the supervision and that he may have or have lapsed in a criminal race or company, and that is my motion.
Second.
Agree.
Seconded by the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse, again by the Honorable Dr. Wright. Just one second for paperwork. Okay, Mr. Morales, we're going to continue with the second phase of the hearing. And it is during this phase that the board will determine whether or not your supervision should be continued or revoked. But before we move on, please stand by, as Mr. Turner is going to give us additional background information about your case. If you'll just stay on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly for questions, and you will be able to speak to the board in detail. Mr. Turner.
Yes, sir. Morales was released from ADC custody on 6-11-2018. And arrested on 2-8-2019 by ADC's Fugitive Apprehension Unit with the assistance of the United States Marshal's Office. No new charges are noted. He's returned back to ADC custody on 2-8-2019 with an adjusted CSED of 2-3-2020 with 24 abscond days. Current conviction, 2005, theft means of transportation, 11 years, 6 months. 2006, commitment F, count 1. Theft means of transportation, 11 years, 6 months. 2006, commitment G, count 1. Theft means of transportation, 11 years, 6 months. 2006, commitment H, count 1. Theft means of transportation, 11 years, 6 months. Prior convictions, 1991, aggravated assault, 3 years. 1995, theft, 6 years, 6 months. 2002, commitment C, count 3, misconduct involving weapons, 2 years, 6 months. 2002, commitment D, count 1, misconduct involving weapons, 2 years, 6 months. This is his fourth term in ADC with a CUIR score of 4-4. mental health score of 1, substance abuse score of 3. STG information, he is a suspected member of the STG New Mexican Mafia of Arizona. Prior terms and supervision, 1993, TIS release, absconded for 2 months, arrested, revoked by BOEC. 2000, TIS release, arrested on a tech violation, revoked by BOEC. 2004, TIS release, completed 7 months. Disciplinary is significant and lengthy, with violence, drugs, and conspiracy noted. Other arrest, 1984, aggravated assault, Arizona juvenile probation. 1987, assault, Arizona felony conviction, probation. 1988, assault, Arizona county jail. 2006, theft means of transportation, Arizona felony conviction, probation. 2006, dangerous drug violation, Arizona felony conviction, probation. 2006, dangerous drug violation, Arizona felony conviction, probation. He has a GB score of G5, V6.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. Back to you, Mr. Morales. I'm going to make a quick review of your case supervision summary. It looks like that you were released from the Department of Corrections with an approved address in Avondale on September 5th, 2018. You established residence in MRC in Phoenix for 7 days. On November 29th, 2018, you established residence back in MRC. And on January 14, 2019, you were medically discharged from ORC. This was your last known address. So you were missing from community supervision for 24 days. What were you doing during that time, sir?
So I got medically discharged from ORC because I couldn't seem to get my medication regulated. Okay, that being the case because of I suffered from PTSD and anxiety and stuff. I can't jump for most of the time, but most of the time I was just running from everybody because I just couldn't get the help that I really wanted and I was looking for. I mean, I was getting it at MRC. I didn't want to do anything there. I was actually getting what I needed there, but because of the medication, they released me.
Okay, so you were released from the Maricopa Reentry Center because of,
yes,
managing your medication?
They don't have a medical staff there or a medic, so anytime you need any kind of medical, they release you.
Okay.
And I was going to do DC.
Thank you for explaining that. You have employment notes, that you're given referrals for work. You did day labor until you got injured.
Yes.
On September 25th, 2018, you reported employment at the plumbing in Avondale.
Yes. Yes.
Were you working there the whole time or just until MRC, or how did that work out, sir?
Well, I'm the employer. He knew anything about what I was going through, my classes, my therapy, my MRC, so he worked around it for me, so I was only in cleanup after the construction was going on. And then I could also go to whatever classes or anything I had to go to.
Okay, and again, I don't know if I just didn't write this down, but you're missing for 24 days, so where were you living during that time?
I was living at the house. I was there at the same address, but I was, how do you say this, I was overwhelmed, okay, and I was just hiding from everybody. I was just overwhelmed with everything that I put on my plate. I just took on too much, sir.
I see.
I took on too much. I told everybody, including the office and everybody that I've seen, like, what I was going through, the anxiety, the paranoia, everything, and, you know. Like I said, the therapist was the best thing that happened to me at MRC. He was making me see what I needed to see, and, you know, so I could process everything as I was going along, everything. And so the 24 days, yes, I was absconded because I didn't want to see anybody. I was just distancing myself from everybody and anything.
Okay, it looks like that your parole officer was working with you, just based on the preliminary notes, break off contact, I think you've kind of already answered that, but again, they were working with you, so why did you break off contact and appeal?
Okay, I think what the meds were making you do was making you sure, like I was being, how you say, I'm not gonna say set up for failure, that's not the word to say it. It's just the harder I tried, the harder it kept making me, it kind of made me feel like it was just, not everybody just, the people were actually trying to help me. You know, it was making me feel like, I wasn't doing good enough, I wasn't being man enough, I wasn't being, it's still hard to explain. I mean, I have a clear mind because now I'm not taking the meds. I asked the doctor, but can you really explain this again, see if I can do this directly. They were giving me dirty meds, and they were doing the opposite of everything that they were trying to do. So I can count for some of the days that I was, I mean, sometimes the meds would put me to sleep and I'd wake up 2 days later. But I always felt like I failed to trust. I would just not answer the door for nobody. I was just trying to get a handle on things. My sister was trying to help. They said she had not worked the number, but the people did talk to her. I did talk to the people. I have all my discharge papers here from the UPC, from the neurologist, from everywhere I went to, a browser. I have all the discharge papers. She just couldn't find me because I guess she would try to find me a day later or 2 days later from my actual, when I would submit myself to those places to get regulated on medication or anything else that I was trying to get.
Mr. Morales? Let me ask you a question, just from my own understanding. Are you saying that the meds that they put you on were actually causing more problems or doing more disruption than
normal? Yes, they were. Yes, they were, and it was an experience, right? But I was being told every day to take them, that there was contact in that call at the MRC, my Susan would tell me they should do it, my peer would tell me they should do my meds, and but the only thing I had about it was a doctor at Chicago's Palacasa, the one at MRC. That's all that ever really helped me was the therapy. I've asked for therapy, that's what I've asked for. Meds have always had a real effect on me. And I don't know why I'm not, any given time I could have said no. You know, but it's like everybody else knew what was wrong with me except for what I was trying to explain to everybody.
Well, sir, you had a positive
methamphetamine.
You had a positive methamphetamine. So, did the methamphetamine make you feel better than the meds, or why did you lapse into that?
No, the methamphetamine was, the methamphetamine was like, how was I going to say, a relapse to frustration and anything else to it. You know, I didn't need it, I didn't look for it. I don't know, it's hard to explain, but I just obviously said I just did it because I was pissed off. And that's not who I am, not who I'm trying to be. I mean, I haven't given up. I'm not trying to give up. I know I can do this. You know, it's just having the right people around me to get me to do it. You know, like I said, I was getting to the MRC. The therapist I had there, he was opening my eyes to a lot of things, and it was just taken from me. I was released because of the meds.
Okay, so I got some sanctions notes that in November you were stopped for your ability to use some meth.
Yeah, that was stopping because I guess they were eating there twice a week, 3 times a week. I think that was done 2 days after my entry there.
And
that was all because I was why they shut me there.
You also been to use it, which is, sir. Let me finish the question. You also been to using cocaine too?
Yes, I did. I've been to using that.
So what is it with the stimulants? The stimulants do what for you?
The drugs or the meds?
The methamphetamine and cocaine are both stimulants. Why are these drugs? Why do you resort to these drugs?
For what I'm still trying to figure that out. I'm trying to figure that out, and I'm trying to, I mean, I've been incarcerated here since for a while, but the last 2 years, I mean, I was getting a handle on it. I really was. You know, I don't go forward on the road. I don't, it's not it keeps me busy, keeps my mind occupied.
Well, Mr. Corrales, you raise an interesting question, and again, I'm not asking you to speak for thousands of inmates, but it's interesting to me that once people are in the community, a lot of individuals feel very vulnerable to return to the drug use, but they're inside the Department of Corrections, and they will say, in good faith, that they're not using drugs, and it's available to them inside the DOC. So what's the difference between the bad situation you're in inside the DOC and returning to the community and resorting to drugs? Just help me understand this.
Okay, we always find, doing what you're doing on an everyday basis in here is easy, so I got out. For me, personally, I got out. Everything that I was doing, you know, I try to change up my bad habits and my good habits.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and a lot of times when things get hard for me, I tend to always fall back to what's easy, to what I know, what I've been doing. I've been trying to change that. That's why I've been trying to get the therapy. I mean, I know my problem. I'm trying to break the cycle. When I'm being offered help, I take any help I can get. I want the help. I'm asking for the help. You know, I'm in my 50s now. You know, I've been living all that other stuff for too long, too many years. I mean, so yes, I go back to the habits of pills that are easy to do and they're not good for me. I understand that. But I am trying to break that cycle.
Well, I do appreciate that, Mr. Morales. It looks like that there were several programs. There's Chicago's Portosa, Maricopa Community Center, the CAP, and then the MRC. Let me ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for me. I don't have any questions for fellow board members. Mr. Morales, we're getting close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? We only ask that you don't repeat anything that you've already told us. But this is your hearing, so is there anything else that you feel is important for us to know or understand?
I would just like to say that a lot of people have given up on me. I haven't. And people that work with me have explained to me that they don't see it in me. And I would just like to state that I haven't given up. And I do need help, and I do want it, and I'll take it however I can get it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Morales. The board will be going into discussion now. It may sound like that we're speaking with you directly, but it is the board discussing the case amongst itself under the open meeting laws of Arizona. So if you'll just stay on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly with our decision.
Thank you.
Thank you. The board is now in discussion. Hello, board members. I do appreciate Mr. Morales' accounting for his experience while he was on community supervision. I do want to repeat that, and then actually as a point of encouragement, that he did put some effort into his treatment, but it seems that he had some real ongoing issues with both methamphetamine and struggling with his treatment. We have to make some hard decisions on behalf of the people of Arizona, and I certainly don't want to suggest that I personally have given up on Mr. Morales. I think he has to make some really hard decisions for himself, and I'm glad to hear that he hasn't given up on himself. But I'm not considering him a suitable candidate for returning to community supervision. One of the reasons being that he has absconded on the board, at least had issues with community supervision on two past occasions. And I don't think quite turned the corner on his struggles with methamphetamine either. That's what we'll begin the discussion. Hearing no further input, I'm going to make a motion, and that is, based on the information provided to this board in warrant number 2019-W0188, I move also based on the information that we gathered from Mr. Morales and the information provided by the Department of Corrections, I move to revoke community supervision as he was delinquent, violating the terms and conditions of his supervision, and had lapses, lots and lapses of company. He knows much that he relapsed into his use of methamphetamine and was missing from community supervision for 24 days, which was not monitor his immediate community and manage my motion.
Second.
Agreed.
Second, the Honorable Mr. Rittenhouse, again, probably on the top right. Mr. Morales, your supervision has been revoked, but you will be released on March 20, 2020. At that time, you'll be free and clear. You'll be able to pursue rehabilitation or treatment at your own will and pleasure. And you will not have community corrections officers or parole to deal with. So we encourage you to put together a plan for your return to the community. In the meantime, to concentrate on any programming that may be available to you. And we really do want to see you succeed when you return in March of 2020. This hearing is concluded. No further discussion may take place. And again, if you would be clear on that, that your end date is March 20th, 2020. If you could, don't hang up the phone, just set it down and ask for your CO3, Mr. Morales. Thank you.